Bombas has totally re-engineered socks with comfort innovations that add up to a way more comfortable pair of socks. 2 years of R&D led to multiple improvements of the sock design, performance, and comfort. And an arch support system that provides extra support where you need it most, and it feels like a hug around your foot. And Stay Up technology, 133 tension levels were tested to find the perfect tension that's comfortable, stays in place while not being too loose, and never leaves a mark. Plus super soft cotton that you will never want to take off. Best pair of socks ever, bar none. And one pair sold equals one pair donated. I would never tell you to do something that I don't do myself. Bombas are the socks that I wear every single day. I'm wearing them right now, and they are extremely comfortable. And right now, you get 20% off your first order if you go to bombas.com/Rome. That's BOMBAS.com. You'll get 20% off your first order. Bombas.com/Rome. Codename Rome. Best pair of socks ever. We start hour number three, broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Third hour. All right, hour sets up like this. I've got Bethany Hamilton joining me in studio for the last segment of the program. So that's coming up in about 35 or 40 minutes from right now. She will be here in studio. She's got a couple of books out, and of course, she's got an amazing life. So we will have that, and that's coming up a little bit later on this hour. Again, tomorrow, I will be in New York City, broadcasting this show from our CBS Sports Radio studios. So we'll be on the air and we will simulcast, but I will do so in New York City. The reason I'm going to bust out of town on a Monday is I'm going to sit with Dana White. There is a sports and technology conference. Sports Business Journal is having that. Dana White is like the guy, the keynote guy. And I'm going to do a Q&A with him where we talk about his business, technology, and I'm sure we will get into the latest with Habib and Connor. What kind of suspensions are they expecting? Is the belt in jeopardy? All of that. I'll sit down with Dana White in New York, and then I'm off on Wednesday. And then I'm back here on Thursday. And that's how this week is setting up. At Eric Grand Rapidian starts hour number three off with a tweet. Wait. So a guy just called in to announce to America that him and his friend got their asses kicked at one of your shows 20 years ago. I don't know that that's what he said, but yes, he did. He called to say he was at the brawl at a now-defunct bar. All right, so really quickly, I will not belabor this. This is what happened. I got this job, this big break at 690 a.m. in San Diego. The show had some buzz right from the jump. They wanted to take it out, do a remote. You know, this is a thing. Radio shows go out on location and one of their sponsors. I had never done a remote with this particular station. I had no idea what to expect. We were on the air from 7 p. to 12 midnight. It was a five-hour remote in a bar. What could happen? Also, there were Raider fans and there were Charger fans in the same bar. Did I mention it was in a bar at night? The show starts off fine. Everybody's in a good mood. I had never done a show in public before. Everybody was, and understand, there was not a lot of sports talk radio. This was early 1990s. Everybody was well behaved, but there was a certain element. Gym guy, Royd guy, Raider fan. There was an element, but everybody was getting along. But then the thing started to get darker. Not so coincidentally, the more shots got piled up, the darker and more aggressive it got. And before the end of the night, Raider fan and Charger fan went. They were giving each other the hands. Chairs were thrown. Women were screaming. My engineer was under the table. At some point, I think to myself, because I'm younger, I'm naive, I've got the power of the mic, and I think to myself, they'll listen to me. They'll listen to me. And I'm like, yo, guys. And somebody said, hey, Rome, one of the bouncers, Rome, you probably should just go over there. Stand over there. Just stand over there and stay the hell out of the way. Cops came in and cuffed guys. Literally, arrests were made. This was on air. And I'm all about team content, man. I could not wait to get back to the studio and start talking about the riot at Mr. B's. It wasn't even a brawl. It was a riot. So I'm talking up the riot on air. Hey, man, were you there? Did you see that? That was a riot, yo. And the sales rep pops in during one of the breaks and said, hey, Rome, man, stop calling that a riot. I'm like, stop calling it a riot. Were you there? I was. It was a freaking riot. He said, yeah, well, the sponsor's not happy. The bar is not happy that you're talking about a riot at their place. I said, fair enough. I get it. Sponsor's always right. But let me tell you something, Holmes. That was a riot, yo. So that's what that guy's talking about. Do I remember it? Do I remember it like it was freaking yesterday? Of course I remember it. I was there. I was host. I was presiding over a riot. Yes, I remember it. That guy says he was there. Was anybody else at Mr. B's that night? Hey, Jim, tell Hawk there are only two things in life that are undefeated and untied. Sex and the California Department of Motor Vehicles. Joe in Palm Springs. You hear that, Hawk? Hawk's not a Cali native. I don't think he understands. Hawk's not smart. He doesn't understand a lot of things. Rome, how is that butthole Hawk insuring a non-registered car? I don't know, and I don't care. I'm not going to ask him. Asking means talking to him, and I just don't want to do that. All right, so back to the Pats. Somehow I made it into hour number three without talking about the Pats. I did talk about that game. I talked about the Chiefs at the very top of the program. And now I should probably get to the team that actually did win that game last night, because it would be easy to forget that New England did beat Kansas City 43-40. I didn't lead with it. In fact, didn't even mention it in the second hour, but I had to get to it at some point. And the reason it took me this long to get to it is this is what is expected of the Patriots. This is what the Patriots do. They beat anybody and everybody who comes into their house with Super Bowl aspirations. Bill Belichick comes up with a scheme to make your quarterback look bad, and then Tom Brady executes an offense that makes your defense look even worse. How good were they last night? Tom Brady was getting out of the pocket, shaking tacklers, and breaking off enormous runs like this one.
Brady out of the shotgun on third and goal at the four. Pumps, pressure comes. Brady in trouble, gets away. A flag down in the end zone. Brady will run and dives into the end zone for the touchdown. Tom Brady breaking tackles and diving headfirst for six to give the Patriots a 36-33 lead.
Patriots radio. All right, to be fair, it was only 4 yards. But those 4 yards felt like 4 years. And that was Brady's longest touchdown run in a long time. Probably ever. And yes, it sure looked like Brady did not break that tackle as much as Breland Sparks just let him go because he was afraid of getting a penalty. So maybe that wasn't Tom Brady going full Michael Vick. But that's about as close as we're ever going to see or come to seeing it. And it still looked weird. Now, I know I've said this before. I've said it before, but I think it bears repeating. For a guy who's as in control of everything the way that he is, how does he have no control of his body when he's running? I mean, this guy's more committed to his body than almost anybody. And he has one goofy look about him, doesn't he? How goofy a runner is this guy? How has that TB12 method not come up with a better method for TB12's running? Tom Cruise cannot believe how goofy Brady looks running the ball. Hell, TB12 would give anything to look as good as running as TC56 does.
That's right.
But it doesn't matter. What matters now is the Patriots' offense is looking damn good right now. Remember when the Patriots offense could barely move the ball against the Jags? That same Jags defense that just allowed 40 to the Cowboys? Remember when the Patriots scored 10 against Detroit? That was 3 weeks ago. This Patriots team would beat that Patriots team by 5 touchdowns. New England scored 10 against the Lions, and they have put up 38 or more in every game since. So while some folks were looking to say the dynasty was over, the Pats have been bringing players in, bringing players back. It's all coming together. Dangerous as they ever were. Dangerous as hell. Julian Edelman is back to work underneath. Josh Gordon was signed to get over the top. Chris Hogan was causing problems last night. And then, of course, you have one Robert Gronkowski, the guy who was dominated by the Jags, just absolutely punished the Chiefs. Remember last night also, going into that game, there's a lot of talk about how Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the NFL. Maybe so. Probably so. However, I think some of that worked its way back to Gronk. Last night was a great reminder that Gronk is still there. Last night was a great reminder that there are stiff arms, and then there are Rob Gronkowski stiff arms. I mean, this dude just shoves guys into the center of the earth. The worst place that you can be is between Gronk and the goal line, because you're going to get shoved or steamrolled in an unhealthy and extremely embarrassing and humiliating way. And just like the Patriots doing what they did last night and beating a contender at home, the Gronk stiff arm is so predictable. Gronk pulls in a catch, he turns upfield, and then some helpless DB is in his path. Never mind that the DB is one of the better athletes on the entire planet. There is nobody else like Gronk on this planet, and it's going to go badly for anybody standing in front of him.
Just the 21-yard line. They start the drive from there, and Gronkowski is wide open and rumbles past the 50 and gets thrust out of bounds after a huge gain. Gronkowski pushed Parker out of the way, and that is a gain of 42 yards.
I love it. Trent Brown takes care of the man coverage. Gronkowski takes care of the rest.
That's NBC. You know what it's like? It's like one of those nature documentaries. Like when the smallest member of the herd is separated from the pack by a predator. You know it's coming, and you know it's going to be ugly, but you can't look away, and you watch it. And then you run it back, and you watch it again. And then you can't stop watching it, as grotesque as it is. Old Gronk appeals to the very worst in all of us because we're watching that all damn day. It's not a matter of will this DB get flattened and humiliated, but how badly and how quickly will it be over. Honestly, I would never criticize a DB for just throwing up his hands and backing off and saying, I'm good. You go right ahead, Rob. You go right ahead because you're going to do it anyway, and at least this way I don't get hurt nor humiliated. So in that sense, Gronk is unfair. Gronk in this offense with Brady is even more unfair. Gronk in this offense with Brady and Edelman and Gordon and Hogan and Sony Michel, and the list goes on, is totally unfair. The only team who can hang with them right now probably is the team that was on the opposite sideline last night. And maybe the Rams. That game came in with a ton of hype, and it lived up to all of the hype, and I can't wait to run that thing back in the playoffs. Yes, I led the show with the team that lost. Yes, I waited until hour number three to get to the team that won. But again, I did this because I didn't know what to expect from the Chiefs on the big stage. But this is exactly what we've come to expect from the Pats. And that's got to scare the hell out of everybody else in that league right now.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Yeah, baby. Great game. Great night. Watch that camera, bro. This email says, Dear Rome, of course, they're not the same old Chiefs. They'll probably get a first-round bye, so they can't lose in the wild-card round as usual. Wore Patrick Mahomes looking like Kyle Kuzma, dressing as a sideshow Bob for Halloween. Francis in Glendale. Right on topic, Francis. I'm not saying that. I'm not looking for some lame joke like that, Francis. They're not the same old Chiefs. They're not, even with that loss. Dear Jim, Mahomes looks hesitant, sloppy, and unsure. He is starting to look like a fifth-year quarterback. Yours, Derek Carr. Drew in West L.A. Ouch. You know, Derek Carr has not been the same since he was MVP candidate, Derek Carr. Derek Carr has not been the same since he got hurt. But part of that I thought was going to change when they brought in the so-called QB whisperer. I thought that was going to change when they brought in the QB guru. I thought that was going to change when they brought in the guy who had his own TV show, the quarterback camp. I thought one of the big reasons John Gruden took that job was to work with Derek Carr. So why does Derek Carr look worse now than before Gruden showed up? I don't know. You know, it's a big Derek Carr house. He's not right, though. He's not right. He's not playing the way he should be playing. But it seems like it's getting worse with Gruden and not better. And how can that be when this guy was the alleged quarterback guru? How much time did you waste watching him talk to young quarterbacks and lecture them and tell them how to do the job? Now, John, they're paying you $10 million a year to do it with a professional. Why is he not getting better?
You have to ask Reggie.
I'd have to ask Reggie. Reggie did not host the quarterback camp show. Hey, Rome, a bunch of Raider fans started a brawl at one of your shows. I'm literally in shock. Regards Hawk doing something stupid, Caleb in Green Bay's cholesterol being high, and Rex in ABQ getting run. Dan in Denver, RTN. For the record, I do not know who started that fight. I think Raider fan tried to end the fight because I think more of them left in cuffs than Charger fan. I was doing the show. I really do not remember how it started. I just remember the vibe changing. I remember the fans being very polite and then it getting more and more aggressive as more and more shots were brought out. I mean, think about it. It was like a 5-hour show. It was like a 4-hour tailgate before the show started later. I do not know who started that fight at Mr. B's. I don't. That might not have been Raider fan. Raider fan, I'm not saying it was on you. You know, it takes two to give each other the hands, right? Raider fan was not fighting Raider fan. Raider fan and Charger fan were giving each other the hands. Charger fan has some blame in this too. In fact, 50-50 blame. Okay, we are coming back. Bethany Hamilton in studio later on. RPO later on today. Rome, Price, opinion. Ep 5 or 6, Hawk? It is 6 already. Trevor Price will have his pick for the Monday night matchup. He'll have his pick for Thursday night. We'll have our waiver wire acquisitions, and we'll be talking all NFL. Look for that later today. There's something to be said for being the best. You know, you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition. Elite athletes know you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. If you want to compete at the highest level, you've got to be strong, and then you have to stay strong. Just like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power robbing friction and to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction can rob 10% of the performance from your engine? Imagine then being lined up across the ball from somebody who's at 100% when you're at 90. Advantage, the other guy. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure. It reduces friction so your engine can't perform at its highest level. It's not only strong, it is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That according to the Kurt Orban test. Kurt Orban. It is the strength your engine needs to perform at its highest level and to keep you performing and living on the edge. Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
ATP coming up in a moment. Once again, if you want to compete at the very highest level, you need to be strong and stay strong like Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil, 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Orban. This guy's talking about my trip to New York City. Rome, I trust you will see the news, fellas, tomorrow. Tell Ack good job on his Sunday Eye on Football on CBS Radio. Kept great updates on my snowy roadie, Dave near Milwaukee. Actually, that's one of the reasons I'm going back to see the fam, CBS Sports fam. I don't know if they're going to be happy to see me, but I'm going to be very happy to see them. And Ack, doesn't Ack have like an 18-hour shift for Sunday Eye on Football? So, yeah, I definitely will see the guys tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing all the guys and gals from CBS Sports Radio. I've got Bethany Hamilton coming up next segment. I've got the ATP right now, in fact. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Once again, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This ATP is from Tom in Tucson, and he says, Jim, I know it's lame when reporters ask people to, quote, talk about, instead of asking them a direct question, but can you talk about how awesome it was to see Cruel Intention win at Santa Anita? I can talk about that for 1 minute. Cruel Intention is a horse that we bought into this week. Jungle Racing did. The horse was purchased by my bloodstock agent, Alex Solis, and Jason Litt. And they do a ton of business for L&J Foxwoods. That's the Roth family. It's a prominent New York-based family. Jamie Roth, her parents. Jamie's a very good friend of mine and Janet's. And they own the horse. And they said, would you like to buy some shares in this horse? Do you want to partner up on this horse? And I said, and understand this, the horse did not run before. So when you do something like this, all you know is how the horse is training and what the horse's pedigree is, but you do not know what you're buying. You never know what you're buying. You never know what's going to happen until they actually race. So you're buying on spec. So we've done our research. Our bloodstock agent found the horse. The trainer's been training the horse. It looked good, but you do not know until they run. So I wired this money. We have not had a lot of success lately. In fact, I've been getting kicked in the junk and punched in the face. A lot. So I wait anxiously to see this horse run, and he ran for the first time. One more thing about this. When they haven't run before, although he went off as a big favorite, when they run against others who have run, normally that's not a good sign. Naturally, right? The horse had no experience. So, and then it rained. There was a lightning storm the night before. Needless to say, I had my grip on. And then Cruel Intention. Jamie named the horse. Not me. Jamie Roth named this horse. Cruel Intention and this two-year-old California-bred colt got it going yesterday. It looked like this.
Cruel Intention doing it very nicely, twitching the ears around the turn as he strides out by two lengths from Teacher's Treasure, Spendaholic railing to third past the tiring Petey. Into the stretch, and Cruel Intention, handridden for home by a supremely confident Drayden Van Dyke, leads five lengths. Teacher's Treasure is second under extreme pressure, running a very good race, is going to finish a long way clear of the rest. But here is the unveiling of yet another exciting young prospect from the Baffert Shedrow. Cruel Intention was never going to lose from the time Jay Slender sprang the gate. Teacher's Treasure second, 15 lengths clear of either run.
All right, so two things. The question was the ATP. How awesome did it feel? Freaking awesome. God, it felt so great. It was so exciting. It was really exciting. And it guarantees nothing. But just to get into the winner's circle is so, so hard. So it felt absolutely great, and it felt great to do it with our partners. Nexus Racing Club is also a partner on that horse. Now, if you know the game, and if you listen very carefully to the end of that, what did you hear? Another brilliant racing prospect from the Baffert Shedrow. Those of you who know that Bob Baffert and I have had a few issues over the years. We've competed against each other, beaten each other's brains in, and there was a very controversial race in the Breeders' Cup Classic back in the day. So no sooner than that hit social and that result was published, more than a few of my friends were like, wait, what? What? One guy said, I guess if you can't beat them, you join them. So anyway, Bob and I have had a little discussion. I think we're going to bury the hatchet. Let me tell you something about Bob Baffert. If he trains a horse that wins by 5.5 lengths like that, like a very good thing, I'm starting to like Bob a lot. So anyway, there's a lot more to that. But yeah, we are partnered up in a horse. It's such a weird game. You have to understand about horse racing. You do business with people, and you have success with people, trainers and jockeys. And then later that day or later that week or next month, you see these same people that you do business with in the paddock trying to kick your ass. It's a really weird game like that. And Baffert's like that. So I've competed pretty fiercely against Bob, and now we do business with Bob. It's a long, long story. In any event, Bob had that horse ready to roll. And Cruel Intention ran his first race, and he looked great doing it. And that was fun. That was really exciting. I was not there for it, but I watched it, and it was a blast. I'm still kind of beaming from it. So, yes, I own shares in a horse that is trained by Bob Baffert, and I want to thank Alex Solis and Jason and Jamie Roth and Ellen J. Foxwoods, and that was a blast. Drayden Van Dyke gave the horse a great ride. There's your horse update. When we come back, Bethany Hamilton is scheduled to join me right here in studio. Obviously, her life, her story is amazing. That's coming up next. RPO podcast coming up later on today. It's going to drop. We're going to tape it right after the show. Trevor Price and I talk all things NFL. And then I leave for New York, and I will do this show in New York City tomorrow. Stay tuned. Right now, time for a sports update. Here it is. Welcome back. One last segment. We are cruising right through this Monday, having a great time. I'm Jim Rome in Southern California, and as promised, we are joined right now in studio by a professional surfer. She is a motivational speaker. She is the author of Be Unstoppable, The Art of Never Giving Up. She also has a children's book out right now. It's called Unstoppable Me. She is the focus of a documentary, Bethany Hamilton Unstoppable, which is also on the festival circuit right now. And we are joined in studio by Bethany Hamilton. Bethany, it's so nice to see you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you here. There's so much we could talk about. Let me start by asking you about a recent trip to Indonesia. How long were you there and what was that trip like?
Oh my gosh. I love Indonesia. I've been going there since I was 15 years old with my main surf sponsor, Rip Curl. And this trip was so special because I had my whole family, which I always travel with my family. But and then we were going with like about 15 younger girls. And it was kind of like mentor, younger girl kind of surf trip. And it was just a blast. Every time we paddled out, there was at least 10 of us girls kind of taking over the lineup.
That is so great. How fun. So you mentioned your family. And like any professional athlete, there's always that great balance between family and trying to achieve your goals, which I'll talk to you in a minute. But if we go back a little bit, when did you first start surfing and what was that feeling like? Were you hooked immediately?
I'm pretty sure I was hooked. I mean, granted, my parents had me on a board before I could walk, so I don't know if I was quite hooked then, but I think I was a water baby. And then I kind of grew up just being at the beach and seeing my brothers and parents surf, and then eventually I kind of took it on. I think around 6, 7, I was like hooked.
Bethany Hamilton joining me in studio. I think as most people know, when you were 13, you were attacked by a tiger shark. You lost your arm. I think at that point, if you never went back in the water ever again, that would make sense. But instead, you were back in the water less than a month later. How do you explain this?
I'm so glad that I was willing to try. Because yes, I could have totally like turned my back on the ocean and moved on in life and just had a completely different life. But little did I know I'd be able to surf with one arm, and I had a lot of inspiration after I lost my arm from a guy by the name of Mike Coots, who learned how to surf with one leg, and he had lost his leg to a shark. So just, I don't know, something in me just couldn't let go of the ocean and riding waves. And I think it was just my God-given destiny.
I mean, Bethany, it really is something, because fact of the matter is, you've said the loss of my arm felt like a speed bump, a little hurdle to get over. It is such an amazing attitude and an approach. Where did that come from?
You know, I mean, definitely growing up, I have my faith in God. And so when I lost my arm, I don't know, it's crazy. I had a sense of peace that it was going to be okay and we were going to get past this. And yeah, right now things felt like in the immediate loss, it was like, I don't know, I'm uncertain of my future. And I went from like very certain of my destiny to be a professional surfer and one of the best to like, well, I don't know what life's going to look like from here. I have one arm, things are different, but I just had to do it. I had to try. And it was my third wave. I stood up and rode it all the way to the beach and it felt like the best wave of my life. And from there, I just kept putting my head down and figuring out how to do it with one arm.
Bethany Hamilton joining me in studio. You know, you mentioned the ocean a couple of times, like I wanted to be near the ocean. The ocean was so important to me. I don't understand that like you do, but I will say this. I grew up in Los Angeles and I was not near the water. And then I moved down to where we are right now. And for 6 months, we lived near the water and there was something very strange about it. The people who are near the water understand this and I never had been. But once you're there, it's almost like you cannot get away from it. It centers you. Maybe you can explain to me better. What is that feeling that I had? Because once I got near the water, it felt totally different and I didn't want to be away from the water.
Yeah, I think the ocean is just so special. And Yeah, I totally get kind of anxious if I'm away from it for periods of time. Like, try to keep it under 2 weeks at most. Because if I'm near the ocean, I'm in it just about every day. And I don't know. I think especially riding waves, it's just the thrill and beauty and challenge of it is so incredible. It's unexplainable. And especially the challenge, it just keeps you coming back and like hunting for that next like special wave to like push yourself and become better and better.
Is there a perfect wave? Have you ridden the perfect wave, or is that something that you never really find, but you just keep chasing?
Oh, I for sure had some perfect waves, and that's part of why I made my new film, Unstoppable, which captures me in my element of riding waves and chasing my dreams and pushing myself to be the best I can be.
Okay, now the documentary is Bethany Hamilton, Unstoppable. There is a surf break in Hawaii named Jaws. Now, your husband, Adam, said that when you told him that you wanted to do Jaws, he didn't really know what it was. So he's like, cool, go for it. Yeah, probably just thought it was just you being you, you doing you. It sounds fun. But for those who do not know, what is Jaws?
Well, Jaws, also known as Piahi, is one of the heaviest waves in the world, and for sure the heaviest wave within Hawaii. And it's where only select surfers who have the desire and passion to push themselves to surf some of the largest waves there are to be ridden. And yeah, it's a very high consequence wave and very like incredibly powerful and beautiful. And so I've had the honor of surfing that wave, and it's absolutely mesmerizing.
I've heard the best of the best. Kelly Slater was talking about how scary it is. He said it is scary.
And I completely agree with him.
Okay, so what, if that's true, and it must be, what made you want to go there? Why is that something you had to do?
Yeah, ever since I was a young girl, I loved surfing bigger, like, crazier waves. And I think sometime in my teen years, I was like, I want to surf Jaws someday, and definitely put it on my like bucket list and goals to do within my surfing dreams. So finally, I made it happen, and I got out there and had an absolutely incredible few days out there. And I definitely want to surf it again sometime soon, but yeah, I've been having babies and whatnot, so yeah, take a little break here and there.
Bethany Hamilton joining us, and she is in studio. She's got two books out. There's a documentary. So if that was on the bucket list and you had thought about that since you were a young girl, what was it like when you were paddling out towards Jaws?
Okay, so I had two different sessions. One session I was tow surfing with a jet ski, and one session I was paddling. But the paddling session was like, for sure, the scariest session of my life. But also, like, I don't know. I think for people listening, they might think, like, well, why would you want to surf it if it's just so scary? So it was scary yet thrilling and beautiful and challenging. And so all those different elements kind of, like, drew me to that day and getting out there. And I definitely got pounded on some, and I got some good ones. And yeah, it's just amazing to be out there amongst such a large wave. And like, it's a different approach than smaller waves. Like surfing here in California, it's just very like lighthearted, so to say,
right?
Versus surfing Jaws, it's like heavy hearted. Like your every like, what's it called? Sense is switched on, and you're in full like surf mode. Survival mode / I'm gonna do this mode.
Like you said, it's a wave of consequence. Well, but if there's that much risk, and there is. I remember once, I don't know if you remember the guy Evel Knievel very well, but he was talking about one of his jumps and there being a 50-50 chance that he might not make it. And I said to him, why would you do that if there was a 50-50 chance, a coin flip chance you might die? His response was, and I quote, you know who the hell I am? So I would expect, not that you would say that, but you need this. You need to feel this, right? But as you said, you're having babies. You have a family right now. How does that all factor in?
Yeah, well, like my husband, he's super supportive, and he knows how hard, he sees how hard I've been working for this since I was a young girl, and like putting my body through physical off-water training and training in the ocean. So I've put a lot of time and dedication to preparing myself for moments like that, like working towards the days when the waves are absolutely perfect and you're out there to do your best and catch that perfect wave. So, yeah, I just, I take confidence in my ability. I have the ability to hold my breath for 4-plus minutes. So I know that if I get held under, I'm going to be okay. Just hold my breath and stay calm.
You don't panic?
No. Yeah, I'm really good about staying calm. Plus, they have so much, like, flotation vests nowadays and, like, safety equipment. We had a crew there on standby to help if anything went wrong. But
Bethany, 4 minutes. That's something you worked on. That's something you learned. You have great lung capacity. How can you do 4 minutes?
Well, 4 minutes is my static hold. So it's kind of like you're laying underwater and, like, just remaining calm. But yeah, I've done a lot of practice. Ever since I was young, I was always like diving underwater, like picking shells, and like you're always striving to find that next shell. So just doing different things growing up, like, trained my lungs to be able to hold and be strong. And also, I have like a really strong swimming ability. And even with one arm, it's totally possible.
Bethany, you're really good at lots of stuff. Bethany Hamilton joining me in studio. So you've got two books out, too, right now. You've got Be Unstoppable, The Art of Never Giving Up. You have a children's book, Unstoppable Me. What is Be Unstoppable about, and what is Unstoppable Me about?
Yeah, so Be Unstoppable, The Art of Never Giving Up is just encouraging people to get through those tough times in life. And finding their kind of passion and their, what's going to push them past those challenging things that could potentially hold them back. So it's kind of like coffee table. You can open up to any page and get a little inspiration. And it's really beautiful visual sceneries and captures of me surfing around the world to hopefully inspire people to not give up. And Unstoppable Me was definitely a passion project for me, making this kid's book and now being a mom of two. My husband wrote it, and I helped with the art direction and whatnot. And it's adorable. It was so fun to make, and it's a blast to read to my little guys.
Isn't that fun? That is so great. And the thing is, I mean, you didn't just get back up on the surfboard. You didn't just go back out there. You came back to compete at the highest levels professionally. So what do you say to somebody who's watching right now or listening right now, who's going through a hard time and maybe feels like they don't feel unstoppable and they're not sure how to push through? What's your advice for that person?
Yeah, and I definitely can relate to that. I haven't always, like, you know, I'm not, like, perfect. There's down days or tough times that I've had. And I've definitely, like, my faith in God has been my rock through, like, the toughest of tough times. But I've found, too, like, just having something to work towards and reach towards in my future. So, like, I'm always pushing with my surfing, and I have my next, like, goal to kind of work towards, and having something to, you know, clinging to my passions and doing things I love to do is so helpful in pushing past those hard times. And also just having people around me that support me and encourage me and love me just as I am. And, you know, they're going to help me push through those tougher times. And
such a great message. All right. So for those, you can get these books where you buy books, but for those who do not know, they're interested, what's the best way to find the book? How can you get the books?
Yeah, they're on Amazon. So everybody's on Amazon nowadays. And I think they're on my website, BethanyHamilton.com. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy them if you get a chance to check them out.
Absolutely. Now, before you go, I want to make this point, too, that you're an inspiration to so many people, and you're a mom and you're a husband, but you're still a professional athlete competing at a high level. In 2016, you received a wild card invite to the World Surf League's Elite Pro event. You lost in the first round, but you beat the world number one, Tyler Wright, and then a six-time world champion in Stephanie Gilmore en route to finishing third. What was that experience like?
Oh, that was one of the best results I've had in a professional event. So it felt amazing to take down two world champs and just surf at such a high level with the world's best female surfers, which I've always believed I've had the ability. It's just like getting the opportunity. And yeah, I loved it, and thankful to just keep doing what I love.
I want to ask you one last thing about that, because the write-up on your performance on Sports Illustrated's website starts with, "This really isn't supposed to be happening." What's your reaction when you hear that? Do you think that they're right, this is not supposed to be happening? Or do you think, you know what, this actually is supposed to be happening?
Yeah, well, I hardly pay attention to media and whatnot, but yeah, I think...
Except this show. You're going to like this show, Bethany. This is a pretty good show.
Yeah, it's been awesome talking with you.
You too.
And, but yeah, I really think I love pushing my own boundaries and other people's perspective of boundaries. So I think that's what we're meant to do, push each other's boundaries. And for those who don't believe, they'll become believers once they see us do it.
Bethany Hamilton, my in-studio guest. She's got a couple of books and a documentary. You are an amazing person. It is so nice to meet you, and thank you so much for coming in studio and helping us close out the show today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was so fun. Bethany Hamilton, she is something else. Huge call brought to you by Peloton, one of my favorite products. I bought my own. I have it. I ride it every single day. You should get it, too. In fact, ride with thousands of other Peloton riders across the country on their interactive leaderboard. Track your own metrics over time. Continue to beat your own personal best. Head to onepeloton.com, onepeloton.com. I've got mine in my office. I love it. We're broadcasting live tomorrow from New York City. We will see.